What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Aftermath Podcast. I am your host, Christopher Tenpenny, joined by my co-host, CJ Jones, and a special guest this week, Keegan. Keegan, how is it going, my man? Happy to have you on the pod to talk a little Chiefs-Vikings.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been fun working with you guys the last several weeks and kind of joining together. And for me, this is exciting because I have not talked Chiefs on the podcast itself since the AFC Championship game. I just haven't had enough guys to consistently talk with. So I'm pumped to get some Chiefs takes off tonight for sure.
Well, we're excited to have you. And for those who don't know, Keegan's the big one that was gracious enough to bring us in and have us, you know, do our Aftermath podcast on his platform. And so make sure we'll shout out the end. Make sure to go check out KC Sports Authority and check out the great KU stuff they do. I know not all of you are KU fans, so I apologize in advance, but to you KU fans out there.
There might be some Missouri stuff coming down.
Hey,
there
and
a little bit of K-State. I've got some things, some thoughts in the works. Just got to get the right people in place to host those shows.
No, I feel that for sure. But let's just get into it. We got Chiefs-Vikings, 3-1 against 1-3. Even with the records looking like what they look like, I feel like it's does not feel like a 1-3 team when watching the Vikings as a playoff team a year ago. They've got some weapons out there. So I think whenever you start with the Vikings, I think we got to start off. How the hell do you contain Justin Jefferson out there on wide receiver? Like that guy may be the best player in the NFL.
No, he's a dog. He's a guy that you definitely have to bracket. Keep your best corner on him at all times. I would love to see Trent and Snead kind of mix it up at times, but definitely play too high. Probably keep him in, force them to run the football. I think that would probably be the best matchup for them this week because, like you said, there's no stopping Jay Jettas. He's the best in the league right now. He's going to get his catches regardless. You just want to limit him, not give him too many big plays over the top. So I would definitely expect Spag to run a lot of cover four, cover two this week, keep everything in front of him, and just make them work meticulously down the field. So that would be my game plan idea.
Yeah, I don't think there really is an answer because if there was, we'd see somebody would have stopped JJ in the last couple years, and he's going to get his. I think watching the Vikings this year, early on, he was eating up the field, but he wasn't catching touchdowns. So you were keeping him out of the end zone at least. But yeah, this will be a fun test. I think we've been very pleased with our corners this year so far. McDuffie looks like one of the top corners in the league already in year two, and it's really year one and a half. Snead's always solid, so yeah, I'm excited to see how they do that. Definitely two safeties, keep everything in front of you. If the line can get pressure like we need to, maybe we'll see a lot of three-man front so we can add an extra DB. It doesn't seem Spags doesn't traditionally run the two guys on a top receiver that often. I think he's going to put a lot of trust in McDuffie and Snead one-on-one with a little bit of safety help. So I don't know, who knows, but he's probably still going to get his for sure.
Yeah. And the reason I wanted to lead with this was because while he's been getting his, and the only time the Vikings won was the one time he didn't get over 100. Of course, that's how it worked out. He still feels to me like the one guy that could really give the Chiefs problems and allow the Vikings to pull off the upset. If he's able to go for 160 with a couple tutties, if he goes for 160 and no touchdowns, kind of like what you were saying there, Keegan, you could probably live with that because that means that they're struggling in the red zone, probably kicking field goals. But you let 18 start doing the gritty in the end zone, and it could be a long day. I'm kind of excited because it is going to be the first real test. I know Goff's pretty good, but from the quarterback play, it hasn't been elite. Kirk's a little bit better than everyone's seen. Justin Jefferson is definitely the best receiver that they're going to see regardless the rest of the season. So really testing that secondary. I'm kind of interested to see how they stack up. But one thing that can also help limiting the passing game for the Vikings is getting to the quarterback. And we know that their offensive line isn't very great. I think they're averaging 2.5 sacks per game. Are we eating this week, boys? Are we eating Big Macs this week?
I think we're definitely getting Big Macs this week. Like you said, they're giving up 2.5 sacks per game. I think their interior is one of the worst guard-to-guards in the league. I know from a defensive perspective, me and Chris were talking about it offline, their team overall, they have a completion percentage given up to quarterbacks. They're fourth worst in the league. And I think overall completions given up, they're second worst in the league. So this is a team that gives up a lot of big plays, and quarterbacks usually have good days against them. So I expect our offense to go out there. And I had a question for you. Since we should get pressure, how would you guys feel about us playing like some type of keep away if we are able to get pressure and get the ball back to our offense to keep them off the field? Do you think that would like throw them off? Because I know we're going to get pressure, but like, how would you feel about us?
That's a great question. I know Minnesota offensively, they kind of slow it down a little bit more. They like to control the game, even though, you know, they could hit JJ for a 60-yard bomb any second. Their pace is a little bit slower. So that maybe not, that might not be a bad idea of how do we, you know, we saw the run game work so effectively this last week for the Chiefs. Why don't, if we lean into that, can we eat a few more minutes to keep them off the field? And one, I think if you do that, then you're keeping your defense rested and fire powered and energized so that when they go back out there, they keep that pressure. That's kind of my look at it is that it's a game that could set up to where the offense should control time of possession if the defense is getting pressure early.
See, I don't like the word keep away because if it's keep away, that means there's a fear of the other quarterback compared to your own team. And I don't want to play keep away from anyone as long as 15's back there. So I get what you guys are saying because Vikings definitely can be an explosive passing game because their run game has not been good. Madison has not been the answer back there.
I think Cam Akers is active this week, right?
Yeah, Cam Akers got a few carries last week and did all right. So we'll see how that develops. But, like, yeah, I get what you guys are saying, and, you know, in theory it's a good idea, but I don't like the phrase when I got 15 back there. I'm not worried and trying to keep the ball away from anyone else.
Yeah, really, it's Minnesota doing that.
Yeah. Minnesota should be the one playing keep away. Even with the numbers being what they are through four games for Mahomes being down, like,
yeah,
I don't know. But I again, that's just the luxury of having the best quarterback in the league on your team. So,
yeah.
But – Kingas, what were you thinking about sacks? I know CJ was thinking that we're going to eat a little bit. Any player you expect to get back there or players?
I think you could throw out – I mean, I know we're not specifically talking prop bets right here, but I think there's a lot of bets you could throw out. You know, Chris Jones should eat in this game. That, like you said, CJ, that center of the line is not great. They're giving a lot of pressure right up the middle. And Jones, I mean, he's aggressive. He gets to the quarterback quick. I think if we're bringing pressure from all angles, Jones should be able to attack. You know, Karlaftis, we were joking earlier offline that Karlaftis is top 10 in pressures and, you know, top five and almost got to the quarterback kind of play. So I think this is a good one to see him really come out because he's got enough quickness and length on the outside to get there. Shoot, Derek Nnadi. I mean, this could be a game that Derek Nnadi does something that we wouldn't normally see. I think, yeah, defensive line as a whole, this is probably one of their best opportunities all season to show what they're worth. Shoot, Mike Dana, man, he always shows up in prime time. I don't know if you'll be able to get him on a prop bet anywhere, but I think 4 to 5 sacks isn't out of line. I think it's realistic.
No, absolutely.
I'd be here for it. What about Felix getting in there, getting his first full one? He's got a half one, right?
Yeah, he's got a half one.
Yeah, let's get him his first. I think that's what I'm looking for. Because, again, they're going to have to – if everything goes – and we're about to talk about the offense. But if everything goes to plan offensively, the Vikings are going to have to continue to throw. They already prefer throwing over running the ball. Like, there's going to be a lot of opportunities, you think. And so I would love to see – like you guys, like you just saying, 4 or 5 sacks. I mean, I know that's a little ambitious sometimes, and we just saw Khalil Mack get how many on his
6
own?
Six.
Last week. So, like, not to say that that wasn't against the Vikings, but the Vikings have an offensive line that very well could surrender their fair share. So, would love to see that defense.
I will say what feels weird, and not to go back to the Jets game last week, but going into that game, all talk all week was the Chiefs should dominate this team. The Jets are terrible offensively. There's nothing they're going to do to move the ball. While the defense is good, this is the Chiefs we're talking about. And I don't know if it's just experience as a Kansas City fan, or I'm sure every fan base feels the same way. But when you go into a matchup like that, I always feel like, man, we're going to be the team that lets these guys stick around longer than they should. And I'm not going to lie, even though we won 23-20, my wife and I were talking actually after the game. She's like, we won that game, right? And I was like, yeah, we did. It didn't feel like it because the whole second half felt awful. So that gets me a little nervous because I feel like when the Chiefs should go this way and everyone's predicting to go that way, then they do something odd and keep teams. I mean, I don't think they're going to be losing this game at all, but this for the Vikings is a chance to go, hey, we're going up against the top team. Why not just go out there and play our best ball? And, you know, if we allow them to stay in this game, then, you know, we're giving them every opportunity. So I don't know. That gives me a little nervous because I do think the Chiefs are one of those teams. You know, it didn't happen with the Bears, of course, but I think with the Bears, there was just way too many things going against them at that time. And as we can see now, 2 weeks later, they're completely flipped the script. But that gives me a little bit of nervousness, you know, because this is a game that on paper, yes, this defensive line should absolutely dominate. And if they don't come out and get 2+ sacks, we're going to be sitting here next week going, what happened?
Right.
How?
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I agree. And like this team has been known to turn the ball over as well. I think they lead the league in fumbles right now. I know they fumbled 4 times, I believe. Or no, TJ Hockenson has 4 fumbles for himself. And I believe that Thursday night game when they had the Eagles a couple weeks ago, they fumbled 4 times in that game as well. So this is a team that's known for turning the ball over, whether it be throwing interceptions. I believe Kirk Cousins threw a pick 6 last week against the Panthers in Carolina. So we have a lot of opportunities for our defense to get our hands on the ball. And we've had at least 1 turnover in every game this year. So I would like to see that trend continue. So
a Kirk Cousins anytime interception is a very solid play.
Bro, stop stealing my plays, Keegan. I'm trying to save those for the prospects. Jeez. No, I'm playing. That's a great play, too. I love that one. I was going to say that one, and there's another one, too. But, no, like you guys said, the defense has a great opportunity to make plays this week up front and on the back end. Kirk Cousins is going to give you opportunities. This team has been known to put the ball on the ground multiple times. Why? I don't know, because there's too much talent on that team. But I think they'll give us a chance to get some turnovers. And if we do get those, I believe that'll separate us to a Chris will be happy and we won't have to worry about sweating out those long games like we usually do. So,
right. And I don't want people to think like I'm being overconfident against this game. The Vikings are a much better team than the Jets, and we saw how close that game was last Sunday. I mean, listen, Justin Jefferson's averaging 140 receiving yards a game. The Chiefs' leading receiver is Justin Watson at 163 over 4 games.
You don't have to be so loud about it.
TJ Hockenson has over 200 yards. I think Addison Reed has over like 180. Like they've got 3 guys with more yards than any Chiefs wide receiver does.
What are you trying to say?
So like this offense is explosive and can hurt you.
I think what he's saying is that there aren't any touches for KJ Osborne and maybe we should give them a phone call.
Hey,
I know you guys talked about that the other day too.
I was floating around. The only thing like CJ brought up in our episode last week, recapping the Jets game, talking a little wide receiver was, is he really elevated from anyone in the locker room, or is he just a very similar caliber player what we already got? So, but I do like KJ Osborne, you know. But
I like KJ too.
Since we're speaking about the wide receivers, let's just jump right into the offensive side, and we got to talk about them because it's the biggest story. That's the biggest glaring issue with the Chiefs. Are any of them going to step up this week? Are any of them going to make plays that, you know, or are we just going to have to rely on 87 to go out there and hope he catches 12 balls?
We should have some opportunities to make plays this week. This secondary, like I said, they have top 5, top 4, bottom in the league completion percentage, top 2 in the league at giving up completions in general. They've given up big plays week after week. So obviously, Brian Flores, their new defensive coordinator, has come in try to combat the lack of talent they have back there. So he's going to mix it up and try to keep everything in front of him. Like we said, we're going to do to Justin Jefferson. I expect him to do the same thing to us. Try to not obviously he's going to double trap, not let him try to take over the game. To Chris's point, but there's going to be so many opportunities. I don't fear neither one of their corners. I think it's Alexander and Byron Murphy who they got over from the Cardinals. I don't fear either one of those guys personally, in my opinion. So I believe there's going to be plenty of opportunities for MVS, Sky, Rasheed, KT, and Watson to go out there and make some plays. Now, this connection that Keegan was mentioning offline, we have to get this figured out because there's been plenty of screenshots. Everybody's watched the All-22. Me and Chris talked about it 100,000 times. This connection between Pat and the receivers has to get cleaned up. There's moments at times where Pat misses throws. There's moments and times when the receivers don't catch the ball or know when to sit in zones. But if there's any a week to get right, this is that week as a get right week. We said it last week, 2 weeks for Chicago. That's a get right week for them. This is another one this week. And we have some opportunities coming up after this with some easier defensive matchups for us. So this is a week where I expect the receivers to redeem themselves a little bit. And if you look at the stats lined up, we're kind of around the same yardage mark, this receiving group compared to last year's. It's not too much of a difference, maybe like a 40-50 yard difference. But overall, we're on around the same pace. So, and I think after that Tampa game, our receivers kind of took off and we started to play better. So I think this is a week we could get going for sure.
It is weird that we're 4 or 5 weeks in now. We're still sitting here going, all right, which receiver is going to step up? Now, if we could go back 6 months, my take in the offseason was we don't have a number one receiver, and that's going to come back to bite us at some point in the season. Yes, you can rely on Travis Kelce every single week. He's not your prototypical lineup in the tight end spot. He moves everywhere on the field, and he is your number one target. But you can see when Kelce doesn't have it or they're really crunching in on him, I don't know if it's the lack of trust with the receivers. I don't think it's Mahomes regressing. There's been several guys out this week saying, well, maybe Mahomes is slowing down. He's not. No, he is the best at what he does. But if you don't trust your receivers, like that's what was frustrating today. Seeing all the all 22 view today on a bunch of plays, there were receivers wide open that Pat just didn't look at. And I think live, I didn't notice that live until you go back and watch it. But that's a little frustrating. So this, again, this should be an opportunity where Mahomes has the ability to spread the ball around. I mean, I don't think he ever has a problem, you know, getting guys involved. It's just not getting much involved. You know, Kadarius Toney cannot go an entire game and get three targets. Sky Moore cannot play 25 plays on offense and not touch the ball once. Kelsey should get the heavy touches, of course, but MVS, like this is another game. MVS has breakaway speed. Why can't he bust a 40-yard bomb down the field? Justin Watson, you know, he's probably, I think, has the best hands on the team outside of Kelsey. It's just, I don't know, it just seems weird that as much as we spread the ball out, we can't focus on getting somebody else involved. I don't know if that makes any sense at all. Like Tony, you'll see him in back-to-back-to-back plays, and then he's gone for 15 straight plays. And then Rashee Rice drops the ball, makes a catch, gets two catches in a row, and then gone the rest of the game. So I don't know. It's just mind-boggling how the wide receivers have been this season so far. And I think the same thing happened last year until Juju got going. And it just takes a while for Mahomes to trust his guys. Because, yeah, this is like you said, the guys don't know how to sit in the zone very effectively yet. But, again, this is a very young receiving core. And even MVS, you know, he's not young. He's a veteran, but he wasn't used. I mean, he was really used as a burner in Green Bay. Basically, hey, run a streak and I'll throw you the ball. That's basically all he did. So he didn't have a very in-depth route tree in Green Bay. So, yeah, it is just weird. But if there was a game, like you said, if there was a game for a receiver to really push himself ahead, this is that opportunity. So you've got five or six guys in that room. You know, pressure's on. Who's going to step up? Because somebody has to become a reliable target down the road. Otherwise, we're going to be getting in these back and forth shootout games. And, you know, Kelsey can't play every play. You know, we even saw in the Jets game, there were times he came out because he was exhausted and he wasn't even catching the ball. He was just trying to fight to get open. And I know, you know, we'll get into this later in the season. McKinnon's probably going to get more involved as the season goes along, keeping him fresh. But the receiver's got to do something. And this is a week to put out. Step up or shut up.
Yeah, and I think Mahomes is feeling that pressure too. Like he's seeing the all 22. He knows that there's guys opens that in that moment he's not feeling comfortable. He's seeing what people are saying where, like, you know, there's legit power rankings having him, you know, fifth quarterback in the league based on this season alone. You know, obviously if you take everything into account, but like, which is I think a fair ranking. Like I you can't be too mad with what he's put on tape. Is some of that on Kelsey missing week one? Is some of that on the youth, the receivers? Absolutely. But to be fair, he just hasn't put up the September numbers we are used to so far. And so I think after another week of seeing, you know, him kind of playing poorly to hit by his standards, that he's going to have to trust those guys. He's going to have to take drops. If they drop everything or he throws a couple more picks because there was a communication issue, you're going to have to live with that, because the alternative is forcing it to Kelsey and going three and out and not moving the ball. And like, that's just not where we need this offense to be. And kind of keeping on this same topic real quick is, which wide receiver, you had to pick one guy, who your guys' favorite to maybe be an impact receiver this week?
Well, I want to say that, but, and you guys talked about this the other day too, why is that guy not Justin Ross, in your opinion? Like, if as bad as the receivers have been, the fact that he still can't get on the field to get enough plays to even have an opportunity is either super alarming or something. Like, to me, that he's got the body type, he's got the leaping ability, that if you could just get him in for a string of plays, give him an opportunity, maybe. But I mean, maybe there's something else going on there. But like, to me, it's just like, why can't Justin Ross get on the field?
No, I agree. I think there's probably a mixture of the old rookie receivers and Andy's system don't really get reps. And this is technically Justin's rookie year because he didn't play last year. So maybe they're kind of treating him like this is your first time getting live reps in this system. And to Chris's point, Chris said it on the last episode, if they're not liking what they see in practice, they're not really going to put you on the field. So and I agree, maybe Justin should get some opportunities, and I think those opportunities will come. It probably won't be till after the bye week in week 8. So I think then we'll start seeing more like Justin Ross slowly to get integrated into this offense. Because I agree, like his body type and his skill set can be used in this offense for certain packages. And I think the biggest thing, like Keegan, I think we need to do with this receiver room is just like find out which three guys work the most for Pat and which guys are the most he's most comfortable with. And if that's a combination of MVS, Sky, Rashee, MVS, Rashee, and Justin Watson, MVS, Sky, Justin Watson, whatever it is, pick the three and then let other guys come in for like when guys tap out and they're tired for certain reps. But find a three to roll. I want to see three drives in a row with the same three receivers. I don't want to see four or five, six guys rolling in. Pick three, run with those three, that have other guys come in just to spell them. And I think
I love that you mentioned that. Yeah, you mentioned that the other day too, and I think that's a very, very important point. Like as much as it's good to spread the ball around, if you're not getting a guy a rhythm, how on earth is he supposed to go out there and understand that on this type of play style, Mahomes is going to be looking here for me. Well, and I've only done it one time a game, but I think that's definitely a big factor. But I think for me, I mean, Kadarius Toney should be that guy. We went out and gave up a third round draft pick for a guy that's, you know, first round talent on paper, has not delivered, you know, can't stay healthy. But for me, it's got to be Kadarius Toney, because we went into this year going, hey, Kadarius Toney has the makeup to be our wide receiver one, and it has not panned out. So I think for me, the pressure is on him to perform, because he is probably the most talented currently, with Rashee Rice kind of slowly sneaking up on him. When he catches the ball, he can do some nice things.
He just hasn't been consistent enough. Yeah, great catch.
Yeah, he's just been on a pitch count since the injury, I think.
That's my only pushback, Keegan. Like, I can't trust him to play like four snaps in a row.
Well, that's what everyone's been saying this week. You know, you can't trust him. So
just give him the meat coat. Give him a little gadget play.
I'm still running him out there until he, because again, clearly it's not working. So like, keep running him out there and try to get someone confident. But like, jumping back real quick, I want to make one more point on the Justin Ross thing, because like CJ said, I do think a lot of it. Do in practice. The other thing is his best skill set's red zone, right? Do we think that's where he can be utilized the most? Yeah. And where does Andy have a million plays already for Kelsey and Jet McKinnon and Pacheco?
In the
red zone. So like, you know, those play calls, like you see, oh, I can run this play for Jet, or I can run this play for Justin Ross, who's ran one route today. What's he going to call? So I think that's another part of it, is his skill set's kind of got a few other guys that have plays that have been in the system that they practice and that they like more. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Oh, it's like you said, Andy's offense is one of the most complex offenses in the league, and it is very difficult. I mean, you could even go back to Tyreek's rookie season. It was hard for him to get on the field because he didn't have the route tree yet. And then without that route tree, you know, they were trying to utilize what he could do, and it took him about a year and a half to really get comfortable. And as soon as you get comfortable, it clicks. And we just haven't had that consistent guy the last couple of years outside of Tyreek. You know, it's kind of been a rotation basis, or hoping McColl gets to that point. You know, I'm really just a quick side note, really, really disappointed that we didn't re-sign Juju, even knowing his injury concerns and he hasn't played a lot this year. Once he got comfortable in our system last year, he seemed to be that reliable guy when Kelsey was covered, that you didn't have to worry about someone getting open. Because, I mean, if you go back to the Super Bowl, who were the receivers we ran out there for the Super Bowl? Not much crazy talent out there, but Juju was on the field, and he takes up presence. So, yeah, you got to find somebody that can take some attention off Kelsey, who's going to be sure-handed. You know, to me, again, Justin Watson's got the best hands on the team, I think, as far as from a consistency standpoint. It just seems weird that you want to get him more involved, because he's not like, I know coming to this season, Justin Watson for me was an afterthought of, okay, he's not part of the future, so why give him a lot of playtime? But he seems to know the offense probably better than most of the other receivers.
No, for sure.
That's fair.
It's just, I think the Chris Jones thing really handicapped them quite a bit on making those decisions, because Jacoby Myers is a guy that also was a little healthier they could have brought in. You know, we all know about the DeAndre Hopkins saga. I don't know how much it would have helped with how he looks at Tennessee, but you know, although there were options, but I think they were
low
just...
key. I've tried to get some other takes on this. Adam Thielen.
I know. Oh my God.
He was the guy all last season. Was like, he's not going to be that expensive.
Yeah.
Give him a 1 year prove it deal. And then I see him go to Carolina, and the first I'm like, why on earth do you want to go to Carolina? You've been on the Vikings team where you had a really good offense with opportunities to get to the playoffs, and now you go to a team that you have no shot with. And I see, yeah, you're throwing the money out. And it's probably part of it. I'm like, to me, Adam Thielen was a no-brainer. I'm like, he would perfectly immediately replace Juju, be the guy that you can go to on third downs, red zone. And, you know, that would have been fantastic. You know, maybe
you for me, I would have loved
it. Yeah, Jacoby, I liked him a lot too. Yeah,
I love Jacoby, bro. He's like, and it's funny because, like, I laugh at it because I have some friends that are Patriots fans. They're looking at it like, why did you guys let us sign Juju? I'm like, I don't know why you let Jacoby Meyer leave your head. He's way better than Juju right now.
He's younger than Juju.
Jacoby Meyer making diving catches. So I don't get why they didn't sign him. So, yeah, I agree.
It's always about the money.
And he was over the Patriot way. I think that was pretty clear.
And they both got the same deal, like 3 for 30, right?
So yeah, like he was very over the Patriot way. He got in trouble too many times for saying things after and he didn't even say anything that out of pocket, but like for a Patriots player to say it was always like
they're not
gonna let that fly.
But who's the I'm going blank now? The receiver they have now that people are starting to gain trade interest in. Not Thornton.
It's not Kayshon Boutte. Who else he come up?
No. He's been there the last 2 years.
Is it Kendrick Bourne?
Yeah, Kendrick Bourne. Yeah, that was the other one.
He's pretty solid.
Again, though, anyone the Chiefs are going to be able to get is going to be comparable to MVS.
Yeah. Jacoby.
Well, I mean, we've even seen before when Andy goes and gets somebody on offense, it takes them 12 weeks to still get acclimated, no matter how talented they are.
Because they just had to learn everything. Yeah.
Right. It's crazy, but. Keeping up with the offense, just because we haven't talked about the one part of this game, which I think actually, if the passing game doesn't get right, the Vikings, I almost call them the Twins, the Vikings are still allowing 130 rushing yards per game. And we saw what Pop did last week going crazy in New Jersey. Like, hey, if it's not going, just turn around and hand it to 10. I think that's something Andy has to keep in mind for he can't go away from the running game, which he loves to do.
That was my point earlier. I think once we do get a lead and once we get that turnover, we can lean on Pop and run the football. Because like you said, this team has been known to give up big plays. I believe they gave up 200 yards to DeAndre Swift on that Thursday night game versus Philly. So this defensive run game can be had. Because like we said earlier, Brian Flores is doing his best trying to hold this team together. And I think that probably is the best part of their defense. I think their run defense is like 15, like middle of the league right now. But they're terrible against the pass. And even if that, and they're still giving up 100 yards a game. So this is a matchup I think we could definitely take advantage of. I expect us to use Jet McKinnon a lot. So I love the play we said earlier about him scoring. I expected him to get a lot of touches via run game and pass game. But, yeah, this is definitely an opportunity. Like I said, I don't think there's really any strength to this defense that will give us issues. Outside of Danielle Hunter, not really a lot of names over there that really pop off the screen to me. So this is a game where I think we should take full advantage on offense for sure.
It does kind of feel like the Chiefs and Andy have maybe hit a slight turning point when it comes to – how much attention we give to running the ball. There was a couple of plays last week where, I mean, we know how bad we've been in third and short and fourth and short, 1 yard, 2 yard, we never line up. There were a couple of plays last week where we actually gave it to Pacheco and let him get the first down. There was one I'm thinking of was like third and one, and I think they either pulled Trey Smith to the left or Pacheco just, he made a guy miss going right and then went left and got like, I mean, it was only like 2 or 3 yards, but it got the first down. And to me, I'm going, okay, you just saw it successfully happen without doing anything special. Guess what? We can do this again. So if I'm hoping that gives us a little bit more attention. One guy I was listening to today, they were talking about, you know, some of the Chiefs struggles offensively in addition to the receivers is, of course, offensive line play hasn't been the cleanest. And we've had a lot of like second and 15, second and 20s, that kind of thing, because we're throwing the ball on first down. You know, wouldn't be a bad idea to kind of start with the run game, get into a second and six, you know, second and five, more favorable position than going straight to the pass immediately and, you know, getting a penalty to set us back even further. Now you're playing behind the sticks instead of playing close enough to the sticks. But that is the weird thing, though. You get the third and 15, and then Mahomes breaks off for a 25-yard scamper, and, you know, we're like, okay, fine. That's the offense.
And we scored on that third and one you mentioned, too. The woman, Trey Smith, came around and blew up White, D. White, on that putt. That was it. We ran power. We ran tackle over Donovan Smith with Juwan Taylor on the same side. We had two tight ends to the right. Ran power left. Trey knocked out the safety and Pop scored. So third and one, we ran it and we scored. So you can't get much more beautiful than that, guys.
You know the other solution, right?
Just a fake sneak.
Quarterback sneak.
The fake sneak, not the real sneak.
The old fumble Ruski where he drops it, picks it up, and slides.
I don't know. I don't understand why teams can't. I know nobody does the I formation, single back formation anymore. I get it. We're just moved on from that. But why can't you just run the strong I or the weak I and put Blake Bell right there? Or no, some even put Jet McKinnon there as the blocker with Pacheco behind him. And you have one extra body. And you just run right behind him. You only need 3 feet. 3 feet to get a first down on third and one.
Hey, you know the greatest play in Madden 06 was fake fullback dive, halfback pitch, out of the I formation. Let's get back to that.
Yeah.
Old Madden play.
Fake fullback dive.
Baby. You just give it, either give it to Jet up the middle, or you pitch it. No, I hate the pitch on
I think our version of
you
that.
You were talking really I formation. I immediately went to old Madden days because that was my go-to play.
We go like duo set. Remember in the Super Bowl? I think we ran it week one, if I'm not mistaken. We go two backs. They both put their hand in the dirt, almost like they're running a wing tee.
Yeah, we kind of decide
which one to fake it, one hand, one up. That's right. Like our version of like what Keegan said, putting the back in the backfield. That's like our duo set when we're going to run on short yardage.
Yeah, because this offensive line is designed to be an aggressive push. So even though, you know, passing protection hasn't been the best, it hasn't been terrible either. But, I mean, Trey Smith is a nasty guy. When he fires off the line, he's looking to rip your head off and knock you down. Creed Humphrey is going to take the two guys in the middle, and he's going to keep them at bay. And then nobody ever wants to talk about Joe Tooney because he's just quietly there being super productive. Like right there up the middle, they're just pushing forward. You've got all you get. You just need 3 to 10 feet right there. Move the ball forward. Don't run it off the line. You know, stop throwing Clyde out there and trying to see if he has any speed, because he doesn't. He's going to get blown up in the backfield. Just give it to Pacheco right up the middle. It seems easy. And I'm sure there's got to be a lot more going on, because from the fans' perspective, we're going, why can't you just turn around and hand the ball off? If it were that easy, then you know, they would do it more often.
And they're not the only ones. I see a lot of me and my friends joke about it offline. There's a lot of offensive coordinators across the league, and I feel like every time on Sundays I keep a tally, how many offensive coordinators pull an Andy and try to make like short yard is the hardest play on earth? Like I've seen the Colts with Anthony Richardson, Keegan, they don't use him on QB sneaks. I've seen the Bears until
tonight.
And
he's built for it.
And like he's literally Cam Newton reincarnated. I've seen the Bears not quarterback sneak. I sent this to Curtis week one. They did the old Andy tight end sneak when you have Justin Fields in the backfield. So a lot of coordinators are very not smart on third and short, fourth and short. So we're not the only ones, but it's just other teams have athletic quarterbacks. And we know Pat is athletic, but Chris knows we're never going to QB sneak ever again unless we do it on accident like we did on Sunday.
I think the only way that would happen is if Mahomes changed the call at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, he'd have to do it himself.
It'd have to be a playoff game.
There's no way he would do it.
It would definitely be a playoff game. And he'd be looking at him like, what'd you just do?
Yeah, it'd have to be a playoff game. He'd come out of there with a dislocated knee, though, or something.
Would there be like t-shirts like he just changed Andy's call? Is that what he
would do? Oh my gosh, that'd be crazy. But
Andy, I got this.
All right, let's get into the last part of today's show. We've been kind of talking about them a little throughout this, and I know they're not all out, but it's still kind of fun to talk about how we see the game playing out, and what better way to do that than with picking our favorite prop bets of the week. And, guys, I'm going to start off just because I'm in Oklahoma. I can't – unless I go to the casino, I can't – I don't have access to this.
Chris has sent up money, and me and Keegan will place it.
There you go. I'm on a cold streak, so I wouldn't send money my way. I have – the Chiefs lost – every bet I placed on them last weekend. So
I made a little cash last week. So we're cashing me a little bit.
Hey, I didn't make any, but I didn't lose any. So we're doing all right.
That's how you win.
Right. Stay away from it. But I know this is a couple, your guys' is a couple of favorites, but I did call dibs on Jet McKinnon. Anytime touchdown just feels like a no brainer. He's playing his former team, Minnesota Vikings. His time in Minnesota wasn't great. He's injured quite a bit. So I think playing in that nice stadium they've got, I think Andy has to draw him up a play once they get into the red zone. So whatever those odds are going to be, which I'm sure are going to be pretty good, you're probably not going to make a ton of money. Maybe pair it up with, you know, your favorite wide receiver over, because that's another secret. They've been doing all these low over-unders for Chiefs wide receivers because they don't know. So
they don't. Nobody knows.
So pick your favorite this week. Pick your favorite and pair it with a Jet McKinnon anytime touchdown, and might make a little money.
That is very true. That was one of my favorite plays. Chris stole it from me, like very smart man he is. My other favorite play this week, I actually have two of them. One of my favorite plays this week is whatever. I don't think the numbers came out yet, but whatever Pat's completion number is. Like I said, the Vikings are one of the worst teams in the league at completion percentage and giving up total completions of quarterbacks. So I think usually the past couple weeks, I found Pat numbers usually around like 24.5 or 27.5, something like that. So he usually completes around closer to 30 passes. I know we're going to throw the ball at least 30 times. So whatever that number is, when I get the official number, I'll post it on the page and everything when we drop the episode. But I love Pat's completions this week. And my other favorite play would be the Chiefs team total. I saw it today. It was on FanDuel at 27.5. I think that's a pretty safe number. The Vikings have given up upwards of 25 points a game. So I like us to score at least 3 touchdowns and a couple field goals this week. So those are probably my 2 favorite plays, Chiefs team total and Pat Mahomes completions.
Yeah, I know the over-under set pretty high, so I think I like that one, Chiefs over 27.5. I think, again, this is a game where last week was a struggle. I think the Chiefs are going to have to come out and show that, hey, there's nothing going on. We just had a bad game. We're going to get back to it. So I think offensively, there's several overs I like. Defensively, for sure, I love, you know, once they come out, seeing what the sack lines are. I wouldn't mind throwing a Chris Jones 2+ sacks this game. I think he could wreak havoc up the middle. You know, Karlaftis, a sack, even Mike Dana. I mean, he's almost good for a sack every other game right now. I wouldn't mind tossing a anytime touchdown on the Chiefs defense. You know, they are,
I like it.
They are prone for the mistakes. And, you know, if you get them in a bad situation, you know, closer to the goal line and a fumble scoop, return it, I don't mind that. I was looking at receiver props. I don't know why I keep coming back to this, and I wish I had a good answer why. Where to go? Justin Watson anytime touchdown plus 420. Again, if we're getting, you know, the 30-40 yard line and the defense is just giving up chunk plays, I could see a nice little post pattern to Watson beating his guy down the field. I also couldn't see a Marquez Valdes-Scantling. But that's for me. What's hard about betting the Chiefs right now is you have no clue. Who do you no just clue. Pick one that week and hope for the best, you know, outside of Travis Kelce and maybe, you know, Pacheco over on yardage. Like, there's not a lot of confidence on who's getting touched. Like, who had Noah Gray getting a touchdown last week?
I know. I
did not either. So it's hard to do the touchdown ones. But I like getting into, you know, the catches. I think Kelce last week, his target was like 6.5, and of course he finished. Yeah, he finished just under at. I think he finished at 6. Yeah, I wouldn't mind looking at a couple of those. The Justin Watson one's the one that keeps popping up to me. You know, it's anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5 receptions. He's usually like 22.5 yards, and of course this last week he didn't do anything. I'm tempted to still take Justin Jefferson on the over.
Yeah. I was like, even if it was like,
there's only so much yards you can do to slow him down. I was trying to go through statistically.
I like his catchers for sure. He could have taken his perfection. Oh, for sure. Like 6.5, 7.5.
The Chiefs don't give up this year. They haven't given up a lot of like yardage unless it's because a guy's gotten heavy, heavy targets.
Heavy volume.
I think it was back in the Jaguars game, Christian Kirk.
Yeah, he had like 10
at 100, but he had 11 receptions that game. So yeah, you're bound to get over if you get this. So I like Justin Jefferson probably on whatever his catch total is. Take the over on that.
Exactly. I love the Kirk Cousins anytime interception. Like Keegan's point, that's another. Those are probably some of the anytime safest plays. He's going to give you an opportunity for sure.
Guys, my favorite stat of the week, real quick, is that Kirk Cousins, he can be the 5th player to have 50 games with over 300 yards by your 12th season. Okay, I know that's a very there's a lot of things there. Mahomes has 42 and. seasons in 6 seasons. So there's only 5 guys that have had, or not even, Kirk's about to become the 5th guy in NFL history with 300 yard passing games by your 12th season. Pat's at 42 in year 6. Like, that's my favorite stat of the week. I just had to throw that out there because
Kirk's good for a 300 yard.
I know,
game,
right? Every week.
They're always down. So he's gonna, like, that's another sneaky play. If you want to take the over in his yardage,
on Kirk,
behind. They throw the ball a lot, so.
It was supposed to be a compliment to Kirk while also a, you know, realization of just how insane Mahomes is at the same time. So, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. One more. I do think we didn't talk about this that much here. I know I mentioned it offline. I've been very impressed with the Chiefs defense on how they've been able to tackle and contain people. And I think because of that, what I've noticed this year is the Chiefs are holding teams to a fairly low total.
Right.
Even though, again, the Jets don't really have a great offense, holding an NFL team to 20 points on Sunday is pretty solid.
That's
so I I haven't seen the exact number yet, but maybe taking Vikings on the under, even though they have that explosive offense. If the Chiefs keep them out of the end zone because they're tackling guys and are not letting guys break away, then maybe the Vikings only make it out with, you know, 17 points.
You hit the nail on the head. Oh, yeah. Hit me, CJ.
Kirk Cousins passing attempts. I love that play. Like he can say, if we're playing with a lead, they're going to throw a ball a lot. So his attempts, whatever, it's probably going to be at like, probably like something like 33 and a half, probably something around there. He's going to throw the ball. Another one I definitely would like is Trent McDuffie's total tackles and assists. Mm-hmm. I saw it today on DK on DraftKings. It was at 1.5. And we both have said this all year. He's not only one of our best defensive players, he's one of the best tacklers on our team. And he's been one of the best overall, best DBs in football. So 1.5, as many times they're going to throw the ball and target him, like we expect, getting two tackles for him should be very easy. So
didn't he have like 11 tackles this last week? Something like that.
Yeah, bro. Trent gets targeted. Like he has so many times to get tackled just because we stretch out defenses when they run the football. And usually your DBs are your worst tackler. So he's always going to get opportunities being on the edge because we bounce and we make teams run it toward the sideline. So, and Willie said another, our defense is trending. So.
One more thing to keep in mind, you know, Nick Bolton should be back this game. So Nick Bolton too. You get one of the best tacklers back in the country. So again, I'm as much as people want to talk about this being a high scoring game, like the Chiefs defense is set up to keep this low scoring and grind it out. So maybe just taking the under on anything that's not Justin Jefferson. I am kind of curious though. I know we didn't mention this as a matchup, but who lines up against TJ Hockenson? Like he's a really good tight end. You know, he's similar to Kelsey. He gets open. He's physical. Who on this team is that guy? You know, is it going to be Justin Reed? Is it going to be Drew Tranquil? Willie Gay? I think that's one matchup to consider because so much attention is going to go Jefferson's way. You know, who's going to be the guy that, you know, steps up to the plate there? I think that's another just interesting key matchup. But having Nick Bolton back, you know, could be a huge, huge factor continuing to push our direction.
Yeah. Drew Tranquil or Brian Cook. Those are the two guys I want to see. I don't want Justin Reed nowhere near TJ Hockenson, respectfully. And Justin, I love you, baby. You keep doing your thing, keep making great tackles. But from a coverage standpoint, Drew Tranquil, 23, or number 6, Brian Cook, need to be on TJ Hockenson, in my opinion.
It's going to be one of the safeties. And I think that just from a practice standpoint, game plan standpoint, you don't know what Nick's, you know, his status is going to be. And I think they like to have Nick. As good as Drew Tranquil's been, they show that they really like Bolton as a three down linebacker, even if that's not necessarily a strength. So I think from a game plan standpoint, you know, you don't know if he's going to be out there or not. I think it's really easy just to go into the week being like, hey, Brian, or hey, Justin, like you're going to have TJ Hockenson this week.
Yeah. Okay. Here's two sack ones I got throwing real quick because these seem like no brainer.
Wait, we're trying to. Apparently, we can just put all the money on.
We got to make a seat.
Like,
we got
to be rich. Like, we need to like a list here. I gave my George, one, guys.
George Karloftis plus money to get a quarter of a sack. Just a quarter of a sack.
Is that even
plus money, plus 120. Mike Dana, plus 120 for a quarter of a sack.
Trent McDuffie's two sacks plus money, too. Like, these are easy plays. Like, Trent McDuffie,
all they need is a half sack.
Yeah. Quarters of a sack isn't even a stat. It's does he get, yeah, you can't get even half record a sack or not?
That's all you got to do.
Hey, if quarter of a sacks were a stat, if you got for almost sacks,
I'm about to lock that in.
Karloftis would lead the league in that because he's been getting after it. But all right, gentlemen, it's that time where we do our final game predictions just for fun. These really don't mean anything, but CJ, where do you see this game playing out? I see it looks like DraftKings, the current line's 52.5. You know, that line may move up and down before game day with the Chiefs being 3.5-point favorites. What do you got?
52.5. That's definitely a high number. I'm going to probably take the under this week. I think our defense plays better. I think we show up this week for sure for this matchup. I think there's a lot of yardages that we give up and not a lot of points. We've been really good at keeping teams out of the end zone. I think we have the lowest percentage of touchdowns given up, or top four right now, and the lowest percentage of touchdowns given up. So I'm going to go Chiefs 27, Vikings 24. We win by a field goal. Harrison Butker for the win.
Oh, you still think it's that close?
Yeah, I think it's like they can score. I want to believe that we don't let them get that close, but they have a lot of players. And it may be some, like, maybe we get up early, come back late, we try to stop them later. So I think we do keep it. I think we separate ourselves at the end and find a way to win the game. But I respect their offense too much to think we're going to blow them out. Too many good weapons.
What are you thinking, Keegan?
Man, as I'm looking at this, you know, almost 90% of the bets are on the Chiefs.
Right.
Which it should be accurate. 52.5 over. I do like that. But again, I feel really good about how this defense has showed up, that they're not giving up touch. And I know how good Justin Jefferson is. And he, like I said, he's going to get his, but he hasn't, it's not like he's racking up 7-8 touchdowns already. So I'm going to go Chiefs 31, Vikings 17.
Ooh.
We both like the
under.
Like the
under. Nice.
Yeah, right. Riding the under on everything except for the Chiefs. Chiefs total.
Chiefs to get going. See, I'm still having issues with the Chiefs offense, and I almost, like, it's crazy to say, because, you know, they're still, I think, top 5 in points, and they're top 10 in both passing and rushing yards. It's just the world we live in right now is spoiled Chiefs fans, but I'm going to take it a little closer. I'm riding the under two. I'm going 24-20. I think the Vikings, again, they have enough weapons to keep it interesting. I think the Chiefs just have that clutch gene, but there's still things we're talking about that were a little frustrated that didn't quite click after the game Sunday. So, but all right. Well, hey, before we get out of here, we always like to give the fans a shout out on where they can find us and kind of keep along, because, you know, we all like to live tweet a little bit sometimes, and it's always fun to talk football. So, CJ, where can the good people find you at?
You guys can definitely find me on Twitter at CGZ81. You'll probably find me on there playing. I'll post all the props me and Keegan talked about. I'll post everything this week for sure. If you guys want to talk college football, we'll be talking about that. I have a space coming up where we'll do bets and lines for this weekend, so definitely pay attention for that. But my DMs are always open. I appreciate everybody for listening. Shout out to Keegan for shopping in with us too.
Yeah, and I'm going to put CJ on the spot real quick. Him and I have not had a chance to talk about this, but we are going to be doing some betting content coming on the podcast, whether it's on here or on, you know, KC Sports Authority. I would love to get some more bet stuff going out there, because I think especially now here in Kansas, there's a lot of excitement. So throwing you on the spot there, we're going to talk some betting for sure coming up.
Easy.
Oh, I love it. Again, something I stay away from, because I don't think I'd win a lot of money even if I could. So, you know, good to stay away. Keegan, where can the people find you though for this betting advice? I mean, you had a lot of good betting takes there.
Yeah. So we went through week two was our worst week by far for college football. NFL has been kind of slow and steady, but you can find me at Keeganator_11. I also will be firing a bunch of stuff from our podcast account, which is at KCSA Pod, and, you know, KC Sports Authority. JB, my other co-host, he does a lot of content for me over there. So you'll see us tweet a whole bunch this weekend, especially for Chiefs and KU. But yeah, you can find me on there on Twitter, Instagram. But most of the time, most of my sports stuff's going to come through the at KCSA Pod.
Love it. And as always, for me, you can follow me at TenPenny88. Again, I'm in full baseball mode, guys. I apologize in advance to you just football fans. I am in complete Philly mode. I live tweet the Philly game. So if you have to meet me during when the Phillies are in the playoffs, like, that's just where I'm at as a diehard Bryce Harper fan. So you're gonna have to live with that. But otherwise, you know, I'll be complaining about quarterback sneaks and, you know, all that during the Chiefs game. So don't worry.
Well, hey, we are gonna talk baseball soon. You know, we gotta do our Royals season recap and get into the off season. So that'll be coming up for sure on the podcast sometime in the next couple of weeks, once we get to kind of recap ourselves on the season and then put some solid takes together before we just blurt out stuff.
Figure out what the hell we witnessed over the last 6 months of the
and where this team's going.
Nobody,
right? What do you mean we're going downtown?
That's like or to Tennessee, so far away.
Or to Nashville. One day. Maybe we'll see how that all plays out. Boy, but that's a whole other 50-minute podcast that we could take up. So, or this week we're gonna take off again. We appreciate you guys listening, and as always, we'll talk to you next time.